This is Sean with Voices of St. Joan of Arc, and I'm speaking with Kathleen. Kathleen, how are you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm still alive.
You're still alive. And what's your last name?
Nagdi.
Nagdi. And you're about 89 years young, is that right?
That's right. I don't know what happened to 88.
All right, so where did you grow up? When were you born?
Well, I grew up on a farm south of Lafayette. And I had three older brothers and no sister. But, it was back at before the war, and the tractors didn't have rubber tires then. there were no tires made for the general population then. They just had metal tires, and about every 8 inches was a big piece of glob of metal about as big as your fist. And they were really rough.
So what brought you to Indianapolis?
Let's see. Well, it's kind of a long story. My husband was from Iran, and we had three children. We took them over there, and they were getting sick, so I brought them back to Lafayette, where I was. I had an apartment there. And then when my husband finished his teaching commitment in Iran, he came back here. And in the meantime, we lost the firstborn child. It was a boy. He was with a group of children, and somebody was running a lawnmower, and something hit him in the temple, and he became unconscious, and he died 6 days later.
Wow.
So we wanted to be close to the cemetery up there where he was buried, and my husband was able to get a job here in Indianapolis at IUPUI, and he taught engineering sciences. And he published papers and, that sort of thing. It's very academic. Other than that, he liked television. He still likes television.
And what's your husband's name?
Amir, A-M-I-R.
Okay. And so what got you connected to the church, to St. Joan of Arc?
Well, we were first on Berkeley Road over in St. Thomas Aquinas, and we bought this house, made a down payment out here on Meridian, and it kind of didn't belong here because I was a farmer, but we had the money, and we paid it off in 3 years, and St. Thomas became very liberal, and something happened. I think Joan of Arc and St. Thomas exchanged choirs. And Father Dooley was a pastor at the time. And the St. Joan of Arc choir was in the church sitting there. And Father Dooley came in, and Jim Henn said, "Hello, Father." And I know Father was very impressed that somebody would call him Father, because it was kind of, liberal parish. And I caught that. I caught the nuance there, and I thought, well, I'm going to investigate St. Joan of Arc.
Ah.
I wound up, economically, we were better at Joan of Arc than Immaculate Heart. So we went there for that reason, and it was mostly black, and the kids got along fine. They had their fights, but they they got over them, There was no bitterness, and I think there was maybe some, but sometimes there were only two kids in the class that were white, but now it's kind of evened out a little bit. There was the urban flight, and everybody went to Carmel. Now those Carmel people, their children are growing up, and they're coming back to Joan of Arc. And there's a tremendous amount of children up there.
Kind of coming full circle. So what's some of the things or activities or groups you're involved in at the church?
I did everything but play the piano, I guess. I was a cantor at one time. I was a reader, Eucharistic minister, sacristan. I guess that was about it. But that was over a long period of time. We got there, what, 1985 or something like that, yeah. And it was, I think the church right now is so strong in every category. You know, the music is fantastic. I think Joe one time had 21 cantors.
Wow.
And he worked at it so hard that Father put him on full time because he just, well, you know how he is. He's just a real busybody there. And, well, that's, I guess, come to the end of what I have to say about that. You got another question.
Yeah, yeah. Who are some of the people that you'd like to give some appreciation to that's always helped out the church?
Oh, Eleanor Hughes Davis. She has been remarkable lady. I think she was an only child, and she had, I think, 9 children. She had a very complicated life, but boy, I'll tell you, that woman, she did everything. She watered the plants, and they responded to her. she is one, and the other one was Pat Crossland. She's passed away now, but Pat, I had a daughter that was getting into drugs, and some parents told her they couldn't come to her house. But when she showed up at Pat's house, Pat hugged her. And I'll never forget that. The gospel that she had in her for Francis. So, let's see, who else? Well, I think some of the daily mass people were all good. We would get Father sermons that we have now are just a little bit different than what you have on the Sunday masses. For instance, he said one day, I was so surprised, he said the apostles were buttheads. What? He said they didn't get it.
Is there any moment that really kind of, or some, like, what's a couple of your favorite moments that you've experienced at the church?
Favorite moments? Well, I told you about that one when there was a tremendous popping sound, like a transformer blew up in the church, and I looked up at the lights and I expected the glass to be shattering down, but there was nothing wrong with the lights, and I was sitting right in front of the lectern there. And I turned around, there were blue lights dancing all over the lectern. And I thought maybe, well, there's a car out there and there's a coming through the window. And I looked at the placement of the window. It was impossible. So after Mass, I talked to Joe Burrows, the music director, and he said he had talked to Father. And when that popping sound happened and the lights dancing, Father was hearing somebody's confession, and he was explaining to them about the Divine Mercy picture, the rays of light, the white and the red, and that's when that happened. So that was really unusual. I never had anything that deep and so obvious that something was, you know, oh, I don't know the word for it right now.
A little divine intervention, maybe.
Yes, there you go. Yeah, that's it. I don't know the vocabulary, but yes. And some of the other things.
Well, that's pretty amazing, you know, on its own, to be able to see an experience like that within the church.
And yes.
For the Father to be able to, you know, justify it.
I guess you've seen some things too, haven't you, in your lifetime?
I have, but that's, you know, we're focusing on St. Joan of Arc. So,
yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
Well, I think I said it before. It's in my mind so much, I don't mind repeating it. We're strong in every category. You go to some churches, the music is not so, you know, it's mediocre. Or maybe the sermon is whatever, but Father's sermons are fantastic. They're just fantastic. And, of course, it's what he said. You know, we put $4 million into redecorating the church, and some people come and say, oh, it's beautiful. And his remark was that beauty starts at the altar. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes, it is.
I mean, who would think of that but Father Guy?
Right.
Uh-huh. And I think another thing he said, he said he can't, he is so attached to the Eucharist that is so amazing to him, and how Catholics sort of don't show that in their behavior. And he's right. We don't have the reverence we should have. We don't show the reverence. So that's something for, and you know, you're not as old as I am, but in the old days, we did not talk in church.
Right.
You did not socialize. And it's awful hard to get away from that. I try to, but I wind up talking like everybody else. Socializing. Maybe that's something to work on for Lent.
Well, yeah. It's great. You've had so many good years with the church, and you've had some really unique experiences, too. So I really appreciate your time. If there's not anything else, I'm going to close this out. Is that okay?
Yeah, sure. That's fine. I think what you're doing is great, and you must be rather enjoying it, huh?
I'm hearing a lot of really great stories about the church. It is wonderful.
And will you have will we be privy to those two?
Yeah, they're already up, and they're at voicesofstjoanofarc.com. You can listen to everybody's.
Oh, good. I was hoping I'd live long enough to hear them.
Oh, you're going to be able to. We'll make sure you'll be able to access it. I'm going to close this out. Thanks, Kathleen.
Okay, thank you.